Good evening. The time is 6:30. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Raven Radio News Director Robert Woolsey. Tonight we're hosting the second and final of our two municipal election forums here on Raven Radio. This evening we'll be hearing from the candidates for Sitka School Board. We met with the Assembly candidates on Tuesday. If you missed that show, you can find the entire program on our website, kcaw.org. Joining me in the studio are the five candidates for Sitka School Board. There's Jennifer Robinson, Cass Pook, Ed Gray, Eric Van Sice, and Kat Richards. The candidates are running for two open seats on the school board. Jennifer Robinson is an incumbent seeking a second term, and Cass Pook is an incumbent. And Cass, what did we decide? You've had five full terms.
This would be my sixth
term. And this would be your sixth three-year term on the Sitka School Board, plus one appointed year.
One appointed.
Thank you all for being here. The candidates will be taking calls for up to the next 90 minutes or so, 747-5877. If we cover all the major issues, we could wrap up early and go home. It's really up to you all out in the audience. The candidates will be talking a little bit about why they're running, but mostly we hope answering your questions. You can ask questions again by calling in at 747-5877, or you can email your questions to news@kcaw.org. I've also opened a thread on our Facebook page. You can find that by going to kcaw.org and just clicking on the Facebook link. I also have a stack of questions from Howard Wayne's American Government class at Sitka High School. Clearly, some of the students have given a lot of thought to this election. I've divided their questions into five categories, sort of big picture questions, funding priorities, curriculum questions, social impact, and your role as a board member. I think every question I could have ever come up with and more is in this list from the high school. The format tonight is fairly informal. We have the candidates introduce themselves and then take questions, and there will be time for brief closing statements at the end. The candidates should also feel free to respond to each other, agree, disagree, but this is a forum. It's not a debate. It's about airing ideas, and no one is keeping score. So we'll start by having the candidates take a minute or two to each introduce themselves. We'll start with Kat Richards. Please introduce yourself, Kat, and tell us why you're running for the school board.
Hi, my name is Kat Richards, and I have been here in Sitka since 2002. I came as a traveling nurse to Sitka Community Hospital. And the moment I came into Sitka, I thought this community was my own. And I have since then become more and more part of the community. I have two children that are part of the school system. My husband is part of the school system as a temporary basis or a substitute basis, and I felt that it was time to become more involved in the school district, which in turn becomes more involved in the community. So that is why I'm running. I just want to be involved. I want to be part of the process. I want to be a voice for those in the community that can't or won't be part of the process so they can filter through me.
All right. Thanks, Kat, and welcome to our forum.
Thank you.
Eric Van Sice. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert, for having us here tonight. My name is Eric Van Sice. I've resided here in Sitka for 21 years. My wife and I, we have two children that have, or one still in the schools as a sophomore, and our older son graduated last year. They both started their education here as kindergartners, so we've seen the full spectrum. We've been very active parents through the whole process, calling, talking to teachers, visiting, being involved with activities, and just really enjoying the whole aspect of this community's vibrant education that we have. And one of the primary reasons that I'm running or wanting to be on the school board is I feel that we have a great district, very good teachers, and I like the direction we're going, and I'd like to be a part of that opportunity to help shape our kids' futures and tackle the challenges that are coming up.
All right. Thanks, Eric Van Sice. Cass Pook, tell us about yourself.
My name is Cass Pook, and my parents are Pete and Bertha Karras. I grew up in Sitka, was born here. I graduated from Sitka High School in 1980, and my reason to run for the board when I first came on was to advocate for kids that are in special education and closing the gap. that turned into being a Native representative because I automatically just became that because I'm Native. I'm Tlingit. I have served on the board of directors, executive board of directors for Alaska Association of School Boards for one term, and that term is up. If I'm reelected, I already put my papers in to run for the executive board of directors and continue what I do as being an advocate for students on a state level. And I guess Tom called himself a school board junkie at one time, and I guess I'm there now. It's ingrained into who I am, and I love advocating for children. And my main focus this year is family engagement and being a strong advocate to close the gap. That's one of our goals, and finding creative ways to supplement the classrooms in getting kids to be successful in their life schools as community members and in their academics.
All right. Thank you, Cass Puck. Jennifer Robinson.
Thank you. So I think I have to scooch a little closer to this mic probably. So hopefully let me know if you can't hear me. I grew up in Port Alexander and actually graduated from high school there. So Sitka was the big city. There's a McDonald's here, so that was always exciting. And I moved away for a time, and then in 2008, I decided to move back to Sitka. And one of the big draws for moving back to Sitka, next to, of course, my amazing family, was the school districts here. The education that my kids were getting in California compared to what they were going to get here in Sitka was just uncomparable. And so I was really, really excited about that. And so since then, my daughter, she is now 19, and she graduated from Sitka High School. And my son, Caleb, he's 15, and he's a junior at Pacific High School. And just very proud of both of them and the successes that they've had in the district. I am currently, I am freelancing graphic and web design and photography, JI design and photography, and a new experience for me. For the past 4.5 years, I was actually the executive director of the Sitka Chamber of Commerce, so many of you may relate my name to that role. I want to talk, I always have to talk about my mom a little bit when talking about why I'm in this position and the civic responsibility or duty or sense that I need to be involved has so much come from her, and I seem to be the one of the three that have followed in her footsteps in that way. When I was a kid, my mom was on the school board. That's just what you did. And so as I gotten older and my kids don't want me in the classroom as much, I thought, well, I guess that's what you do. And so I did. And I served one term and I learned a lot, a whole lot. And I've really loved it. I actually served as a vice president for the second 2 years as my term, and I'm now acting board president, which has been incredibly challenging and yet very rewarding experience, and one that I hope to continue.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer Robinson. Your mother, for those who don't know, is Mayor Min McConnell here in Sitka. Ed Gray, welcome to our forum. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, Rob. Thanks for having me. My name's Ed Gray. I've been a commercial fisherman and harvester and a tannery owner in Sitka since the mid-80s. I'm married to Clara Bradley Gray, who's been whose family is from Sitka. And I've had children in the school district for 12 years. I've been an active parent activist. I've gotten involved with a number of projects in the schools, and so over the last several years, the education is undergoing a fundamental transformation, and that transformation is the federalization of our schools. It's the transferring of control from local to the federal level. And as I followed this, and I became concerned enough that I thought that being as being an active parent wasn't enough anymore, that I would actually like to be a policymaker and address some of these issues, which I thought were really were really important. So I'm running for the school board, and hopefully I can. I still see my main role as an information, getting information out, transferring information. I mean, I'll continue to do that at any rate, like I've been doing for the last several years, but only adding that responsibility to it.
All right. Thanks, Ed Gray. You're listening to a live candidate forum with candidates for Sitka School Board. I have five people here in the studio willing to take your calls tonight. There are two open seats on the school board. We'd love to hear from you. 747-5877 is the number to call. You can also email news@kcaw.org. And I've already got a couple of questions from email. We're going to start with you, Eric. This is from Charles. Since financial constraints dictate that expenditures be mission critical for the Sitka School District, would you support closing the Performing Arts Center?
Thanks, Charles, for your question. I would not. I would not support closing the Performing Arts Center. I view the Performing Arts Center as a part of a component of our children's education, along with our community. There's so many activities that are based out of there that are either community-based or school-based. And since it's directly tied to the high school, I mean, it is open for everybody. I consider that a vital part of our community. I know it's been, it was tough to get all the funding and different things like that. But when you go to a performance, when you go there and you see the fruition of what our kids, talk about children's programs, be it their concerts or plays or different presentations, that to me is showing education that's working. I mean, there's other components of education. There's, the core subjects and the things we need to make sure. But it's vital to me that those other factors, the music, the drama, all the different things that take place under that roof, I strongly feel that they're a part of a kid's development.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Van Sice, Caspook, how do you feel about closing the Performing Arts Center?
I would not, because we are in a community where the arts is important. It's a big deal, and it's part of educating the whole child, what keeps them engaged in learning. We've had students move on to go to college that has their roots started in the arts. And, when it comes time to budget, the budget process, we look at it a year at a time, and that's how I would handle it. We have strong connections with the Fine Arts Camp. It's not only used in the summertime, but in the winter time as well. No. That would be a no.
All right. Thanks, Caspook. Jennifer Robinson, the question is, since financial constraints dictate that expenditures be mission critical for the Sitka School District, would you support closing the Performing Arts Center?
Well, unfortunately, nothing is free of being looked at. I think everything has to be considered. One of my main questions when it comes to closing the Performing Arts Center is, what is our actual cost? Because that's a very large building. And assuming that if we closed it, we wouldn't want to just let it rot into nothing, what would we still be spending on upkeeping the building? Because we'd have to keep some level of heat in there. There'd have to be some level of maintenance. But we would be losing any of the income that's being generated by it being used. And so far, we have managed to keep it open, and so those are not numbers that we've looked at. But that's definitely something that I would want to see before ever considering closing it. It's a huge, I agree with the other two, it's a huge asset to our community, and it's just a phenomenal building. And I would be devastated if it was closed. So.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer Robinson. Ed Gray, the Performing Arts Center.
Yeah, the national trend has been to eliminate sports and activities. It's not just Sitka that's you know, and that's happening. And it's part of, you know, it's part of the view of education where we try to, where by standardizing education, we're attempting to make it cheaper, more inexpensive, and by trying to standardize, you know, but the issue that comes up is the standardization of children. I mean, how far do we want to go in the standardization of children? And something that makes us who we are, something that gives us an identity, is sports and activities. It's something that most of us grow up, and the people we are a result of things that we got involved in when we were young. It makes us the people we are. It makes us all different. So eliminating something like that, I think that years ago, I know people asked me this question several years ago, a number of years ago, and I said, I don't know. I really don't know about that. But now my instincts would be to say no.
All right, thanks, Ed Gray. Kat Richards, the question is, would you support closing the Performing Arts Center?
The answer to the question for me, I would say, is no. But the other thing I would go on to say is, how can we make it support itself? How can we make that line item on that budget become zero or even to a positive where it's supporting more after-school activities? I'm not part of the process right now, so I can't say how we would do that. But when you are looking at something that is costing an organization something or the district something, the next thing it sort of goes with that line that I talked about, I have a hard time with no. But we go around and say, well, how can we make it work? How can we make it functional to continue to support our kids, but also pay for itself?
All right. Thanks, Kat Richards. The number to call is 747-5877 if you have a question for one of our five school board candidates, or ideally you're asking your question of all five school board candidates. There are two seats open in this year's municipal election for the school board. The election is next Tuesday. This is, I think, your last chance to have all the candidates together like this. Cass?
Can I respond?
Oh, yes, you may.
So Ed brought up a good point on trends, and this is something that came up at the AASB Board of Directors meeting that Lon and I attended in June. And we've never really brought it up for discussion, but it was a very hot topic of looking at trends. So I would probably, if I were elected this year and also elected to the AASB Board of Directors, ask that question. And I think what it boils down to is really getting that message out to the legislator, you know, when we lobby, is that in educating the whole child, looking at those trends that are educating the whole child and how can they assist us and be creative in helping to keep those programs. Because the auditorium came from a bond, capital improvement. And so are we going to get assistance in continuing those capital improvements that we were awarded? That would be the question on the state level.
That is always a question. Does anybody else have anything else to say about the Performing Arts Center? Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, actually, you know, the discussion here where looking at, you know, it is a great facility. We seem to be in agreement with that. And looking again at how can it pay itself. And Sitka has a lot going for it. It's an attractive location. People want to come here. It's for a broader discussion, but I think that I view that Performing Arts Center is a place not only for our kids and our education, but by re-looking at it, recalibrating what we're doing, retooling the what our fees are and stuff like that, maybe it's something that we can turn it so it is self-generating as far as revenue.
Okay. Thanks, Eric Van Sice. Ed Gray.
Yeah, and you know, I know we haven't really addressed that, but you know, you really have to look at, it's something that I've become aware of, that you really have to look at the overall trend that is happening as far as, you know, as far as the budgets are concerned, the reality of you know, what's in the interests of students and how do you educate the whole child? I mean, there's a whole vision, there's a whole view that's happening. There's a worldview that's, you know, that's happening. And you know, as I look at it, I just say our money's not being best spent, you know. And I think we need really strong people at this point, at this time in history. I think we need really strong people with a large view to be able to take on some of the policymakers to change things. And so, it's going to take a large overhaul. It's going to take really strong people, local people. To change things, but I think that's how you address things like that, like those costs, those activities, those sports. How do you address those? How do you address those costs? Yeah, you can look at generating funds from them, but also you need to look at what the policymakers are, you know, what's coming down from the policymakers that can be and need to be changed.
All right, thanks, Ed Gray. Again, the number to call is 747-5877, or email a question to news@kcaw.org. We have another question from email, and Cass, you're up first here. This is from Paul, and as I scroll through this, I would just encourage, if you're submitting a question via email, please indulge me and try and keep it succinct. Paul asks, I am concerned about our federal and state government's late drift towards unproductive partisan gridlock. As board members, are you willing to promise that you will not spend time and resources pursuing political and religious agendas, such as denying climate change or evolutionary science, trying to impose history books with a certain point of view, or worrying about conspiracies? Cass, your question.
I pretty much focus on... Okay, it's not a secret that I go to church. I'm a Christian. I have Christian beliefs. But at the same time, those are my beliefs. Those are my core beliefs. I don't try to push that on anyone else. And I don't feel like it's my place to do that, because education at times is different. It's very political. And I pretty much, I have my own opinion when it comes to a board vote on things that go on in the school, but, I'm one person and there's a majority vote. And I try to be respectful of, where other people are at. And, if it was a private school, it would be different. But this is a public school. And so I'll voice my opinion.
All right. Thanks,
Kat. But I'm respectful. So okay. I hope that answers the question. I hope I understood that right.
Thank you, Cass. I'll rephrase again for you, Jennifer. Paul asks, basically, would you promise not to spend time and resources pursuing political and religious agendas and work to avoid the partisan gridlock that seems to affect us nationally?
Sure. As a school board member, it is my job to make decisions in the best interest of our children. As a school board, we set policy for the district, and then the district implements that. I don't see how we have room for state or national politics or agendas being brought in or conspiracy theories or did I miss anything? That's the school board table's not the place for that. The school board table's the place for how can we provide the best education for our students, and that is absolutely what our focus needs to be.
All right, thanks, Jennifer Robinson. Ed, do you have the question?
Okay, I think I heard the original question. You gave a short version of it, but I'll try to work with the whole thing. Okay, so I think what I'm asking is, are we trying to create a school district that's liberal or conservative? And so I would say that you know what my agenda is, to create a school district that's for everybody, And so I hope that, you know, that children of liberal, progressive families can come here and feel comfortable in our school district. And I hope that children of conservatives can come here and feel comfortable in our school district. And so I believe that's the school district we want to create.
All right. Thanks, Ed Gray. Kat Richards.
This is one of those questions you wish the person that asked it was in front of you, so you could figure out a little bit more what they're looking for. When it comes to saying, I promise, I think that's a really strong statement, too. But when it comes down to it, like Jennifer said, it's a spot where we're making policy for the school. Now, if someone comes in front of the board or a group comes in front of the board and has a concern about politics or about religion, if it's a big enough group, then the board has to talk about it, but that doesn't mean it would take up time and resources and financial for that. We sit there to help try to make sure what's being offered to our children is the best. At the same time, we're community members, and so we're representing some of the community into that school system. So I'm not sure even how to answer that question because I'm not sure what they're really looking for.
All right. Thanks, Kat Richards. Eric Van Sice, do you have the question?
Yeah, and I think that there's part of what makes our country a great place is that we have the right for our opinions, political affiliations, our faith, and different things different things that are important to us. However, as my fellow members here have stated, the public schools, this is common ground. This is where we have kids and families coming from all different demographics. And our job is to pay attention to what's important that's going to be the best for those children. It doesn't stop what people want to do in private, in their homes, and things like, you know, situations like that. But we have an obligation, as a board member, that we need to teach what we know is best. What if it's history may not be as glamorous as what we'd like to think, but that's part of learning. So we, as we move forward, we maybe don't repeat history. I'm personally very frustrated with the gridlock that's going on because I think that it is these petty things that are going on are holding us back. I look at the great potential that we have in a community, in our country, and I just shake my head sometimes when this stuff's going on. It's very counterproductive, and I don't have any room for it. My job is to be there as providing good, balanced education for all of our kids.
All right. Thanks, Eric Van Sice. The number to call is 747-5877, or you can email your questions to news@kcaw.org. I've got all five school board candidates here, Kat Richards, Eric Van Sice, Cass Pook, Jennifer Robinson, and Ed Gray, and we'd love to hear from you. I'm going to go to my list of, I'm going to hit the high school list here, and I think I'm going to start with one of the big picture ones. There's two big picture questions, and I'm thinking I might start with one, and we might conclude tonight's forum with a second one, but I think you're up, Jennifer, on the first question. This is from Katie. She's a junior. What do you think is the biggest issue in our schools?
Well, unfortunately, money. I think that right now what we do with the budget is going to have a tremendous impact on the quality of education that we can provide for our students and what kind of activities we can provide and whether we can keep sports and whether we can keep the pool and whether we can keep the performing arts center and all of that. And with cuts at the state level and the unfunded mandates that we have being put on us, and it's just a lot. And so, you know, this last year when we looked at that budget, trying to figure out how we could keep the quality education that our students deserve, how we can keep enough in there that they're getting that well-rounded education, that we're teaching them everything that's going to help make them a great person. How do we do that with a shrinking budget, but keeping everything that we have. And so there's a lot of important issues, but I think that's the one that's going to overwhelm many of the other decisions that we have to make, because the other decisions that we have to make are going to be so impacted by the budget that we have to play with.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer Robinson. Ed Gray, what is the biggest issue in the schools?
Again, I think that, you know, I think the loss of local control is going to be the biggest issues in our schools. See, you know, the budget, really, if you take a big picture of the budget and you see what's coming down from policymakers. Now, all of us, you know, all of us, I know at the last, at the last meeting we had, like, a lot of us thought the same thing about, some of these, like Common Core and the assessments. You know, we had the same feelings, but there's this feeling that, that's coming down from above. That's the policymakers, you know, putting this on us. And that, you know, that's just the way it is, and that's the way it has to be, and that's, you know, that's what we have to deal with. But I take the view is that, the superintendent Paramo, Matsu superintendent this week, she advocated boycotting the assessments, boycotting the AMPs. So I think if you have really strong people, that can stand up for the schools, for students, that can stand up to the policymakers, and that'll include the governor, the commissioners, the head of the ED, that you have to take a stand and you have to change things top down. We don't have to just take it. We can change it. And so I believe the biggest issue that we have to face is this, is the federalization, the transfer of control of our schools from us to the federal government.
All right. Thanks, Ed Gray. Kat Richards, what is the biggest issue in our schools?
I think that it is support, and it actually touches back on both, I think, what Jennifer said, support of money. I think it touches back with what Ed said, and that is support at a state and federal level. And so when you go back to the district and you say, little old district, little old me, when, you know, we hear with Cass going up and participating at a state level and Jennifer lobbying at a state level, that's where that change is going to happen. And that is where we have to continue to be constant, you know, constant in what we need back at the level where our children are. And so by continuing to lobby, even though lobby sort of has a negative connotation to it, but continuing to lobby what our children need, and if it is the funds or if it is a different standardization, not being afraid to be from the little place, going there and making them hear us. And if it's in their face, that's one thing. But sometimes people hear you a different way by going different routes. So it's almost like continuing to go there and go around and figuring out how we're going to get them to hear that this is not working and it's affecting our kids. It's affecting our kids that will then affect our community.
All right. Thanks, Kat Richards. Eric Van Sice, what do you think is the biggest issue in our schools?
I think the biggest issue is getting the populace to buy in and look at our public education with value. I agree with what Jennifer, you know, talked about with the budget. We can't move forward. We can't lay out a long-term plan. We don't know what's going to happen to activities. Everything is predicated on a reoccurring and stable budget. And we know this is driven from the top down. And I think, you know, like what Kat was saying, somewhere working hard, we've got to get citizens involved to their legislators to have them refocus at the value of education. Many voices can, you know, bring about change. I have admired very much how our board and district, especially last year, it's really got my attention, how much they worked to try and secure what we got, what the very difficult choices they had to make. And at the same time, I was rather I'd say, angry or upset at the fact that this even had to be this way. It's I think if we can, as a group, as a collective public school entities, refocus and get our people in this country engaged back into looking at publication or public education with value, and turning our political mindset around so that we can get not support just for Sitka, but for all of our public schools.
All right. Thanks, Eric Van Sice. Cass Pook, what do you think the biggest issue is in our schools? This is from Katie. She's a junior in the American government class at the high school.
So I'm going to get in the mindset of the high school students and what is probably an issue for them. I think finances is obvious, but I think what their biggest fear may be is losing activities and extracurricular activities. Traveling over the years to the annual conference for board members every November, we have so much more than other districts. How are we going to keep that? I would like to hear from the students that it affects. We're going to have to cut back on sports. We're going to have to cut back on activities and maybe programs. What will they be? I think this would be a good time to do a Survey Monkey, which we've been using more, to find out from the kids, what can you live without? What sports can you live without? What extra programs in school can you live without? What is your priority? If you were to list a priority of your top program or activity or sports that you would keep. Because we don't really know. We can make that decision for them, but we need to know from the kids. But I think that's probably what the question was addressing for them, it's their school.
All right. Cass, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you wanted to hear from kids. One asked a question directly of you.
Okay.
Because I think you've stated this kind of opinion before. For Cass Pook, you talked about your focus on extracurricular activities to keep kids out of trouble. So what are you planning to create in the city of Sitka to keep students busy? I realize in your previous answer you were talking about having to find out what's got to go, but is there anything on the replacement side? I mean, I think that's what Justin is a junior, and I think that might be the root of his question.
Well, I think
we're going to lose some things, but are we going to create anything?
Some things we may not have to lose. We have good relations with organizations, Sitka Tribes of Alaska, and that would be a start. We also have a lot of volunteers, people that would step up to the plate, and I don't know. It'd have to start with organizations that would be able to contribute to keeping programs in school. I know with Sitka Native Education Program, they have brought some of the Native artists into the school. We don't pay for them, but the tribe pays for them. And I know there's other possibilities. We've talked about it as a board to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jen, but to have those conversations with people that can give to the district. But we haven't had those conversations. Like a committee meeting to start. And yeah,
okay.
I answered that.
Yeah, I'll open it up to the rest of the group to find out if anybody else has any thoughts about the creation of something in this atmosphere of cutting. Jennifer Robinson.
Yeah, well, we do have, the school board does have an activities committee that's been meeting and addressing this very problem. How are we going to keep activities? How are we going to fund activities? How are we going to be able to keep students traveling? And I know that they've been working very hard on that, and I'm hopeful that we'll be getting a report from them at the December board meeting. So stay tuned.
Okay. I'm going to... Oh, anybody else on that?
I did want to make a comment, because I am not supportive whatsoever of cutting extracurricular activities in sports in schools, because I know how important it is to the development of a whole child. But Sitka itself is very unique, because we are getting more and more activities that are outside the school. And I don't know if that's from necessity or if it's just happening. You know, we have a wrestling program, Little League, the gymnastics, the Silks, the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, the Young Life. You know, some of the churches are getting a lot larger in their youth activities. It's amazing to see all that. And, you know, so we got to keep that in mind, too, and whether we're partnering with some of these to help make sure they stay strong in what they're creating, too. It's amazing what's been happening over at Hames and at the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, Celtic dancing, the dance studio. I mean, it's almost overwhelming for some kids, because it's like they want to do so much.
Right.
Sick of skippers.
Yeah. Thanks, Kat. Ed Gray?
Yeah. You know, I think last night was actually the last night of community schools, and so I went to the gym, and there was boys basketball, you know, going on, and you know, I just wanted to say hi to Woody, and I mean, thank him for his years of service, and you know, and Marty Martin was running around with the shirt on, referee shirt, and boys were playing basketball, and Coach Andy had stopped by, you know, just to encourage everybody. You know, you had 27 seventh, eighth graders out there playing basketball who, you know, that was the end of it last night. And it's not optional. It's those boys, those 25 boys playing basketball last night, what they're doing is developing character. I mean, it's going to make them who they are when they grow up. It's going to be part of who they are forever. So we can't. We can't. I'm really critical of the move to close community schools. I would have funded it, no doubt, no question. I would have funded it, and so I'm very critical of that. And you know, today. It's closed. It's been turned over to a private entity who apparently is on vacation. There was a number in the paper I tried to call to sign up, and so today the doors are locked. It's closed. To me, that can't happen. It's too much part of what these kids are going to become, and it has to be continued.
Eric Van Sice.
Yeah, and I'd just like to add to this as well. Justin's question is, you know, in the ideal, perfect world, the school would be able to, you know, we could carry on with all of these things, and hopefully we can. But I think many of the, you know, has been said here with this group, and I, to add to it, is our community is a very vibrant and strong community. And I think that when you do look at these outside entities, the Sitka Sound Science Center, the Hames Center, all of these things that we're talking about, so many of them are aimed and programmed for development of the mind, be it youth, adults. And so, yes, it would be great if the schools can do that, but I have confidence in our community that we can rally together, get committee, you know, get together, and fill in these gaps and provide for our kids.
Thanks, Eric. Jennifer?
Yeah, I want to talk about community schools for just a moment, because I've heard a lot of negative things being said about what's happening with community schools, and I feel very positive about the direction that it's taking. I think that we're going to see a lot of good things come out of it. I know that the individual that has taken on this enormous project is excited about it. He had 2 weeks from when he was awarded to when he had to start. So it might be a little bumpy getting going, but I think that if the community can show support, can rally, and can be supportive, I think that I know that we'll have community schools back. It may be a little bit different. Maybe it'll be better. I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but we are going to continue those sports, those activities in our community. And I wish the school could keep doing it. We can't. We don't have the funds. This is going to work. And so I hope that I hope people can be positive about that, because when you're positive about things and when you're excited about things, it makes a huge difference and it helps people be successful. So I just would encourage the community to rally behind this change that we're undertaking.
All right. Thanks, Jennifer Robinson.